The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
We're joined now by Magella Moynihan, who is the author of A Guarded Life, My Story of the Dark Side of An Garda Síochána. Magella, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. Your story, I think, to people of a certain generation will be regarded as absolutely unbelievable, that it just could not possibly happen. And then to people of another generation who might say, oh yeah, that's exactly the way we remember Ireland was, how Ireland treated people and judged people. But even I'm of an age where I should expect some of this, and even I'm shocked to discover that at one stage you faced criminal charges as a member of An Garda Síochána for having sexual relations with another member of the force, and also for becoming pregnant, that there were actually criminal charges contemplated against you.
That's right.
Tell us about that, because that just seems extraordinary.
For me also it's extraordinary, Matt, because I'm thinking back to 84 when those charges were preferred against me, and it's shocking even now. I still find it extremely shocking that they could, first of all, do up charges. Whoever did them, I'd love to meet them.
I'm even amazed it was on the criminal statute books.
I just can't believe it.
It was a crime to become pregnant, to have sex with an unmarried member of An Garda Síochána.
It was crime to give birth. And I'm the only person that has ever been charged with giving birth and charged with having sex with an unmarried member of An Garda Síochána. It's just extraordinary.
But also, actually, it wasn't having sex, as you mentioned, it was giving birth. And that's an important distinction because I'm also struck by the extraordinary circumstances in which the charges were dropped. That it was the Archbishop of Dublin who intervened because he felt that if they weren't dropped, it was an encouragement to women to go and have abortions.
That's correct, yeah. But it just tells you, the coercing that was going on within the Catholic Church and the Garda Síochána. That they couldn't be a separate identity, they couldn't stand on their own ground, and they couldn't deal with me in the sense of that, right, Magella, you've got pregnant, we're sorry about that, is there anything that we can do? All they needed to do, Matt, was to hand me the hand of friendship and hand me the hand of support and say to me, these things happen. But to be crucified and my civil rights, they were just violated. It was a horrific form of abuse. And it's 36 years on, but I still live that drama. I still live that trauma that was inflicted on me as a 21-year-old guard. If I was looking and reading the book A Guarded Life, I would find it hard to believe that that happened in Ireland in the 80s. Because it's my story, it's truth. And for other women that have lived in shame for so many years like I have done, I just ask them, please.
Tell me a little bit, though, about this idea of living in shame. Why do you say that? Why do you use the word shame?
Because I was told that I had demoralised the Garda force. And that is a very strong statement to tell anybody, and especially me at 21 years of age, that was so vulnerable. And the unfortunate thing about it, Matt, is that I believed that. And I lived that for many, many years. I couldn't hold my head high. I walked the beat in shame. I walked the beat as the condemned woman. I walked the beat that I couldn't look at people face to face because I truthfully believed it was like Mary Magdalene. That's how I felt. I felt unclean. And as I said the other day, what has happened to me since I've told my story is that the old skin has shed and the new skin is there.
Why did you decide to tell your story, to do it publicly, to get involved with an RT documentary, then to write the book? What was it that actually propelled you to actually do that?
It was when I had my second son. The light shone for me. And I felt the horrific injustices that were inflicted on me. I was terrified to come out and tell my story. But for me, to free me and to release me of that shame and to release me of that self-sabotaging and self-hatred and self-disgust and self-doubt. And I internalized all of that. I couldn't live with it anymore. I knew that for me to live, I had to release it.
And how many years was it after you had gone through this experience before you were able to do that?
It was 2016, so it was 84. I don't know how many years that is, but I suffered. I suffered so much.
How long did you stay in the Garda Síochána after this happened to you?
15 years. I stayed from the time 84 and I came out in 98. And I suppose, Matt, that the reason that I stayed, and people have asked me this question, how could you have stayed in an organisation that did that to you? My answer to that is they wanted me out. And I said, you're not getting me out.
If the organisation and the hierarchy and the men, and I presume it was nearly all men, wanted you to go, did anyone stand up for you and support you? Did you have any people, did you have any relationships with people within a Garda Síochána who supported you?
No. No. And I keep saying it, that the GRA, I was paying into it, like you do, and not one of them came near me.
But not even colleagues that you worked with?
Matt, there was Vanguarders at the time, that were called Vanguarders at the time, that actually came to the station with me, and they could give me support to the best they could. But I didn't want them to be seen either, supporting me, because I was afraid for their careers, you know. And but it really wasn't up to them, the Garda rank. It was up to officer rank to support me. It was up, because they're the ones that actually did the charges, and they're the ones that actually condemned me. The ordinary Gardas, now since I've done the documentary and the book, the support that I've got from the guards on the ground that I worked with back then is just outstanding. It's amazing. And I don't feel any way angry towards the guards that were there at the time. I don't. I just think that it was an organisation that we all had to be individuals.
And the father of your son, who you were forced to give up for adoption, how was he treated with an Garda Síochána?
Matt, I really don't know, but all I do know is that he was fined £90. I don't know anything else in relation to him, of how he was treated. I don't know.
He was fined £90?
Yes, he was fined £90. And there was a sworn inquiry. And again, it was... Even the sworn inquiry, when I was a witness in the sworn inquiry, I think for me it was, they were trying to say that he wasn't the father and that all my dates were wrong and all of this. Like, they cast aspersions on me. It was just horrific. Like, to think that they thought they did get away with it for many years because I couldn't speak. But today, I won't stop speaking.
There is so much more in the book, and I don't want to give away too much of the story for people who will get into it. But I mean, you have had a tough life story, I think, going back to your mother dying at you were very, very young when she died, and your father letting you go to care and the rest of it. So there's an enormous amount additional in it, but I will leave it there because it's a book that has been endorsed by the likes of Maurice McCabe as well for what's gone on with inside on Garda Síochána. It's A Guarded Life, My Story of the Dark Side of a Garda Síochána. Michelle Moynihan, thank you very much for coming in and joining us here on The Last Word at TFM.
Thank you very much, Matt, for having me.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.